I am a Vietnam era 4F. Mm-hmm. I was prepared to join the Coast Guard to get out of this. And were you actually born, or were you in another country at this point?
No, I was born in 1967, but I was in Canada, yeah. So I was, safe.
Yes. We're sort of total aliens to this particular thing, which is kind of interesting, since, of course, one of O'Brien's things is basically trying to communicate the experience of combat to people who haven't a clue, as he puts it, at one point.
Well, I was noticing too, not to interrupt, but I was noticing, I was reading an interview with him, and he, I don't know if this is just sort of a generosity of spirit on his part, but he talks a lot about one of the things he wanted to do in the book is not just talk about war, but use people's traumas as a point of connection. And he would talk about, like, someone reading the book who's, for instance, whose parents got divorced, being able to experience the same level of trauma as someone who had been to war. And that struck me as such an incredible thing for someone to say who'd been through something that extreme, that what they really wanted to do was share a cross experience rather than share their experience. It's very inclusive, anyway.
Yeah. There's a character in here named Tim O'Brien, who is a Vietnam era draftee. He is a low-ranking grunt in a combat infantry platoon out of the bush. He had been a student body president at McAllister College in Minnesota, which the real life Tim O'Brien was. But it's not exactly the same person.
Right.
So how does this mix together?
Yeah.
How does this work?
Yeah. It's interesting how I've been reading some interviews with him today in preparation for him coming in. He's so flexible, even talking off the cuff about lies versus reality. And he often, he doesn't lie in the sense that he always reveals to the people listening to him that he's telling a lie, but he seems really interested in, that idea that the lie can tell more about an experience than the truth of the situation does, that it opens a door to a feeling that the real story doesn't open up.
There's that one wonderful line, I can't remember it now, in the How to Tell a War Story, that basically something can be perfectly factual and still be the biggest lie you ever heard, whereas a lie can tell the truth better than anything.
Yeah. I'd be interested in, if someone, you could maybe do this, someone who's extremely well-read could chart what happened in storytelling from the time of, say, Tim O'Brien, because he was one of the first people who really talked about this in the way he talks about it, or writes about it in the way he writes about it, sort of that, really, that mixture of fiction and nonfiction. And then, how much nonfiction opened up in this country after that, and fiction, and then how the door slammed shut with, say, James Frey and all that stuff happened, and now there's these really clear demarcations again between.
Well, of course, you had in the 60s and 70s, of course, you had Tom Wolfe and the whole new journalism movement, where people were trying to tell stories in different ways, using novelistic techniques and even exaggeration. And Hunter S. Thompson off on his wild trips. And another thing that strikes me is another war book, which was Kurt Vonnegut's Slaughterhouse-Five. There's a sequence in there. I was trying to remember it today. It has to be a more or less factual account, where Vonnegut is going to visit a friend of his, and they're going over documents and details about the Dresden bombing, which Vonnegut, the real-life Vonnegut, survived as a POW. Mm. And the guy's wife is banging pots and pans around in the kitchen the way, giving off the angry wife vibes. Uh-huh. All this is going on. She finally stomps in and says, "I'm so mad at you guys. I know what you're doing. You're going to write a war story, and it's going to be like every other war story. It's going to make it sound exciting and wonderful, and all the sort of little kids are going to go on to march off and go to war, and I can't stand this." Mm-hmm. And, of course, I would say that Slaughterhouse-Five is almost exactly the opposite.
The opposite of that. Yeah, it's interesting.
Vonnegut was a little more traditional. He sort of morphed and fictionalized his details, turning us into poor little Billy Pilgrim, unstuck in time, who, when he can't stand reality, goes off to Tralfamador, the planet Tralfamador, or whatever it is.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway.